hard to believe that we're already at the end. The end not only chronologically, but as they appear in the Scriptures. So just before what they call the 400 silent years, God gave Israel this final book of warning and prophecy called Malachi. And tonight we see one of those prophecies here in chapter 3 of Malachi, one of the most important prophecies for the world and for Israel, and that is about the coming of John the Baptist and then the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. So notice chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." So behold, he shall come. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you'd use your word to teach us. We thank you for its power and for preserving it for us and giving us a copy of it. And Lord, now may we open our hearts to it and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts through its power. We pray you'd guide us in your truth and be glorified. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So as you can see, God gives a prophecy not only about John the Baptist and Jesus coming, but also his second coming. Remember, in the Old Testament, we never see the church. The church was a mystery. We're told that many times in the New Testament, that the church was a mystery to all the Old Testament prophets. The reason for that is because God is perfect and amazing. But when God set things up, he set them up to go either way. What do I mean by that? Well, when Jesus and John the Baptist came, before they talked about Calvary, they talked about the kingdom of heaven, didn't they? And the first thing they said was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, if you study out, the kingdom of heaven is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is the millennial kingdom, the Israeli kingdom that is yet to come, that we read about in Revelation 20 and all through the Old Testament. And so Jesus came, and as the Messiah and as the descendant of David, came and offered them the kingdom that they had been waiting for. But they had to repent. And that was the one thing that they were not willing to do, was admit that they were sinners and repent. And of course acknowledge Jesus as the King and the Messiah. But it's not that God didn't know what was going to happen. He of course did. But the offer had to be genuine. And for the offer to be genuine, the church couldn't be in the Old Testament. Because if it had been in the Old Testament, then God would have been predetermining Israel's rejection of Jesus. You understand how that works? That's why it had to be a mystery to the Old Testament prophets. Such that when he made the offer, it was genuine. Such that if Israel would have repented, he would have set up his kingdom. But of course, God had it all planned out. He knew they would reject Christ and that he would go to Calvary and die for man's sin and create something new called the church, which began, of course, at Pentecost. That's why when you see prophecies like this one, you often see the first and the second coming of Jesus Christ right next to each other. And that's because to the Old Testament prophets, that's all they saw. Many of them saw his first coming. They saw him being born in Bethlehem, which we saw in the book of Micah. They saw many other parts about him, his birth. But they also saw, many of them saw parts of Calvary. But they didn't see what would come after, did they? All they saw was then the tribulation period and then the kingdom. They did not see what we are in now for 2,000 years, which is the church age. Verse 1, I will send my messenger. That's the prophecy about John the Baptist. He was the messenger. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to Matthew 11, which is just the next book over, although there's a 400-year gap, and see the fulfillment of this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. Notice the Bible says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out of the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger. Oh, there it is. Word for word, quote, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. So Jesus here is making it very clear that John the Baptist was the fulfillment of this very prophecy here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the other prophecy that we looked at a couple of years ago, it is in Isaiah chapter 40. So let's turn there if we could. It's a bit of trivia, quite interesting. I'm not saying that the chapter numbers are necessarily inspired, because they are not. But it is fascinating that Isaiah has 66 chapters and the Bible has 66 books. The Old Testament has 39 books. The New Testament has 27 books. And when you look, go through Isaiah, when you hit chapter 40, there's a complete change in direction. So after the 39th chapter and you go to the 40th chapter, who do you find in the 40th chapter but John the Baptist? So notice verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This is quoted in Matthew chapter 3 as a prophecy about John the Baptist. And notice who he prepared the way for. Do you see that word Lord there? Remember we talked this morning, all caps? John the Baptist prepared the way for Jehovah. So Jesus must be Jehovah, because we know he prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. So back to our passage here in Malachi 3, I will send my messenger, that's John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. So this now is saying that John the Baptist comes to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says he will suddenly come to the temple. Well, that happened in John chapter 2. So let's turn there if we could. Where Jesus Christ, in the early part of his ministry, where actually we'll be looking at this in Sunday school next week. In the very early part of his ministry, Jesus went to the temple. And we all know what happened here in chapter 2, verse 14. It says, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. It wasn't that it was wrong for them to sell animals to people, because when they traveled long distances and they wanted to make a sacrifice, it was much easier to bring money and then purchase an animal and have it available alive to give to the priest. It's that the money changers were profiting off of this exercise and using this whole thing as a way to make money. And that's what Jesus was rebuking them for. But this is the fulfillment of what we just read, that Jesus would come to his temple. I didn't read the next verse, but what does it say? Where was I? Chapter 2, verse 17. And the disciples remembered that the zeal in thine house hath eaten me up. So it was another fulfillment of a prophecy. So Jesus Christ will not only do what he did here, but it also says in the Bible that he will one day rebuild the temple, the original temple, but of course will be much more glorious. And that is found in Zechariah chapter 6. So let's turn over there. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. Remember, in the kingdom, the temple will be restored in Jerusalem. It will have a throne in it, and it will be referred to as the throne of David. And the Lord Jesus Christ will sit on this throne and rule and reign the entire world. Notice Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "And speak unto them, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." So Jesus Christ, when he sets up his kingdom, one of the things he will do is also set up the new temple in his kingdom. We're back to our passage here, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. "I'll send my messenger, he will prepare the way of the Lord whom ye seek. He will suddenly come to his temple," verse 1, "even the messenger of the covenant." We've all talked about this covenant word a lot, haven't we? The four unconditional covenants of the Old Testament. Who's the messenger of those covenants? The Lord Jesus Christ. And in Isaiah 61, if you would turn there, Jesus was given opportunity in the early part of his ministry to come to a synagogue and stand up and read the scriptures. And when he did, he turned over to Isaiah chapter 61, and he stood up and he read Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," comma. That's where Jesus stopped reading and sat down. Why didn't he finish the verse? Because he said, "This day is this fulfilled in your ears." That's as far as it went. The healing and the good tidings. But the next part, the day of vengeance, that's still in the future. So if he would have read that part, he couldn't have stood and said, "It's fulfilled today in your ears." Because that's still at least 2,000 years later. We don't know. Maybe 3,000 years later. So Jesus said, "This day is this prophecy that Jesus Christ will come the first time and be the one that people will delight in. But when he comes the second time," back to our passage, "he comes with wrath and judgment." Let's look at it. Verse 2. "But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness." So this is another example where the prophecy goes straight from the first to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. People like the Apostle Paul, when they became Christians, they still knew the Old Testament. And Paul really believed that Jesus would come the second time while he was still alive. Because he didn't know how long the gap was going to be. For all he knew, it was just going to be a couple years. And the Old Testament prophets saw Jesus come the first time, and they saw Jesus come the second time. The first time, everybody delighted in him, and he came to heal and to preach. The second time, as we see here, he comes with wrath, with judgment. He comes as a refiner with fire. And we're told this all throughout the scriptures. We'll just look at a couple of examples. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4, where when Jesus returns to the earth. Now, this is not talking about the rapture, as you all know. The rapture wasn't in the Old Testament either. That's part of the church. But the second coming of Jesus to the earth after the tribulation is definitely all throughout the scriptures. Notice Isaiah 11, verse 4. The Bible says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. This is what will happen the second time that Christ comes. Let's look at another one in Isaiah 34 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. So it's a time of vengeance when Jesus Christ will come and he will refine. Who is he going to refine? I'm glad you asked. Look at Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. He's going to refine Israel. And we've studied this over and over, but that refinement is the seven-year period called the tribulation. Notice Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. One third of Israel, one third of the earth will survive the tribulation, which is a refinement time, and will be allowed to go into the kingdom. Verse 4 of our passage, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years, and I will come near to you to judgment. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he will not only be refining Israel and allowing them, as we read in Matthew 25, into the kingdom, but he will also come, and as we already saw in Isaiah 11:4, he will come to judge. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23, if you would, verse 5, and we'll see it again. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Who is this king? Verse 6, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. More proof that Jesus is Jehovah. Because one of his names is the Lord our righteousness. One of the compound Hebrew names of Jesus. So Matthew 24, quickly, verse 29. Jesus Christ had a forerunner, John the Baptist. That was prophesied in Malachi and has already occurred. He came the first time to be a blessing, to preach, to heal, and to die. But when he comes the second time, he comes to refine and to judge. And he talks about that here in Matthew 24. This whole passage is laying out God's program. It talks about the tribulation there in verse 21. Then shall be great tribulation. Notice verse 29, immediately after the tribulation. So there's no question as what the timing here. This happens after the tribulation. Shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. It amazes me how many people quote verses like this and imply that this is the rapture. No, he said after the tribulation. Well, it's not here yet. So all of this occurs after the tribulation when who comes? Verse 30, the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth moan, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. So Jesus Christ, we see both comings in one prophecy. The first coming, they will delight in him, which has already occurred. the second coming, he comes as a refiner and as the judge. After the tribulation period, all of this occurs. And of course, then he will... He already came to the temple that first time, but then he will come and set up his temple as part of setting up his kingdom. So, beautiful prophecy that was given primarily to Israel at the very end of God speaking to them. And that is, behold, he shall come. And which is a double prophecy in of itself, isn't it? Actually, it's a triple prophecy. It's John the Baptist will come, Jesus will come the first time, and Jesus will come the second time. So behold, he shall come. And he already did. And he already did. And the last one yet to come. You know what's great about all that? When he comes that last time, he shall come with 10,000s of his saints. That's us. We get to come back with him on white horses. You can read about it in Revelation 19. When he comes that third time to judge and to refine, we're with him. Hallelujah. And then we get to rule and reign with him and be kings and priests with him for 1,000 years. Behold, he shall come. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful prophecy, a reminder of John the Baptist and Jesus' first coming, and then a reminder of his second coming. How blessed we are to be your children and to know, Lord, that when we see this second coming, we actually see it with Christ. Instead of having to be involved in the refinement and the judgment, we get to be with our Savior, whom has already given us eternal life and with whom we'll have already spent time in heaven. Hallelujah for that. May we warn others that Jesus doesn't come back as a babe in a manger, but he comes back as a judge. And may we warn others to be ready by getting saved. So thank you, Lord, for your word. We love you in Jesus' name.